Welcome back to Tuesday Night Gaming, starring Rob, Jay, Matt, Zach, and Alana.
Hey, y'all.
Hello.
And today we're talking about the finale of Andor Season 2.
So
and
sad.
And play Marvel Rivals. I did not watch the episode.
So again, public shame.
Yeah, I guess again. I guess I deserve that. How was it?
So you don't get spoiled. Bye, Zach.
No. You guys didn't spoil me. It's okay.
They win the rebellion.
You could deafen us, you know, whatever. Going to sound off.
Luke shows up and kills Dedra.
Luke. Yeah. And he saves his own sister.
Remember, that's what people were saying. Sorry.
No, he'd be like, he would be 17 years old. It wouldn't be that big a time travel.
Oh, yeah.
He's piloting his little swamp rat ship and just randomly accidentally shoots Dedra.
Seems intense for him to be it murdering.
Thought it was a swamp rat. What do you want?
You know he's killed sand people.
Oh, definitely.
Crazy. He took those Imperial lives no problem. Didn't even think about it.
Yeah.
Really, it's Ahsoka like, just shows up with Grogu and yeah.
It's like Finn killing all his best friends. Yeah, it's the same thing.
Well, I remember that's what people said about Andor was they said, well, what's the point of the show? We already know how it's going to end. He's going to go to the movie. I was like, what about all the characters who aren't him?
Yeah. Well, we know what happens to Melchi.
Which was
we finally looked him up, Matt, and we're like, oh, that guy. Okay.
Melchi.
Well, let me tell you.
Melchi's cool. On
the team. Do you remember when they go to like find the Death Star plans and then there's like a band of rebels on the outside that's like their distraction?
Sure.
Well, trust me, that's what happens. And he's the leader of that team.
Yeah. He does good work.
Does he die?
Yeah, they all die.
Oh, okay. Oh no, I died.
Oh shit. All right, well, battle is turned. But anyway, so how about Andor?
It was something.
I think these 3 episodes were fine, but probably a weak way to wrap up the show.
Oh, really? Why is that?
They spent a long time not wrapping things up that they could have wrapped up.
Well, they kind of assumed that they were going to have 3rd season.
Sure, because they really didn't leave much room to go.
Yeah,
they were going to. They just didn't. Solidly. But, like, that's the thing. They weren't sure, so they just kind of... So they hedged their bets.
I don't know if Tony Gilroy's lying, like a creator, but he said like they always plan, not always, but like once they realized like it was taking so long to make the seasons, they said like, oh, we're going to like just do 2 seasons because otherwise it's going to be, you know, he's going to be a 50-year-old Pedro, or not Pedro, Diego Luna, which doesn't really matter. I know. Yeah, Pedro Pascal's in everything now. I'm watching the Apps of Us. Get rid of that guy.
Regardless of what they planned or didn't plan, I still think it's a fair criticism because, like, we don't really know. And, like, one thing is they didn't even talk about the daughter. I was like, they spent, like, 3 episodes with the daughter getting married, and then she disappears.
Yeah.
That's a good point about the sister, too.
Well, yeah, she was
never... The sister's like a meme at this point.
Yeah. So they really never resolve the sister?
There's one thing about the sister.
They show her in like a flashback, right? Like
it's a dream. He has a dream.
There's like a montage and it's like, there's the sister.
Well, it's ridiculous.
I mean, maybe it's just like what could have been kind of thing. I don't know.
I guess they're just like... I guess Tony Gilroy's just like, fuck it. Like, we have too much other stuff to do. We're not... Like, we don't care if the internet makes fun of us.
Maybe they'll do like a comic book season 3. Like Stargirl or Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Yeah.
It seems so intentional that, like, I don't know. It seems like it's intentionally unresolved. I don't know. I give Tony Gilroy the benefit of the doubt. He's an Oscar nominee. Michael Clayton, pay respect. Yeah.
He's going to coast on that forever.
Yeah. I mean, if I was him, I would. Yeah, absolutely.
Be like, I don't care that I had a half finished plot point. I'm an Oscar winner.
Yeah, exactly. I did the Clooney thing. Yeah, so no.
Did you watch the studio yet?
I've seen just the first episode, but I did enjoy it. Man. Yeah, it was. Yeah. I need to. Oh, it's for Ron Howard, like Arrested Development style. Okay.
No, he's in it as himself. Whatever. Anyway, the first episode is all about Luthen.
Luthen's back.
It's all Luthen and Crane.
Really wanted. Right at the end.
Andor is literally not in it.
No, he is not.
Yeah.
Wow.
But stuff does happen.
Kind of. Very slowly. Yeah. Okay, you know what pissed me off about this? Sorry.
Because
Luthen, for Mr. Loose Ends, doesn't have a cyanide pill in his mouth in his tooth
all the time.
Well, his cyanide pill. He had his dagger.
Yeah, he's not always gonna be in his house.
And also, Deirdre literally handed him the dagger.
Yeah,
like, Deirdre handed him a dagger.
No, Deirdre doesn't. It's his dagger.
Well, whatever. She let him take it. You know,
she let him pick it up. I mean, Deirdre was a total idiot in this part. That's like, she deserves to be like Krennic to yell at her. But like, Luthen almost made Clea get caught and everything because he didn't have a cyanide pill.
Yeah. And this episode was interesting because everything goes against the grain of who they are. Deirdre, the super calculated scheming person, conveniently doesn't realize like her shit can get hacked. And gets super reckless by confronting Axis themselves. I mean, yeah, I guess it makes sense to a degree that,
like, she has no choice, doesn't she? Like,
well, she's just afraid.
Yeah.
She wasn't even, I agree, I think that it seemed like rushed or incomplete because she wasn't even hunting Axis. They took, she was on the Gorman.
Was hunting the whole entire time.
Axis was her obsession, though.
Like, yeah, it was her obsession. Half of what she was doing was to keep like in control and in power so that way she could continue to pursue Axis. That's why she got pissed at Heech for taking over her district and when she got sucked to Gorman because she was still working on the Axis.
Yeah. One thing I did kind of like about this is how the information they got from Lonnie about the Death Star gets more and more incomplete as they tell it to different people. Like, when he first gets it from Lonnie, like, Luthen tells Clea pretty much, like, the whole thing. And then by the end, well, I guess in the second episode, it's like they only have, like, two things. Like, Death Star, Jedha.
Yeah.
Yeah. But in the beginning, they had Krennic and Scarif and, like, everything.
Right. Yeah. It's like telephone, I guess.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It checks out.
The problem I had with these, the main thing that really bothered me about these episodes, and it's not just this one, it's the other one too, there's no sense of urgency at all, right? So Luthen gets burned. Actually, no. So Zach, in the beginning, remember the guy with the mustache?
Lonnie.
Yes. Yes.
The
some respect.
Mustache guy.
No.
Mustache guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's the real MVP of the Rebellion, and nobody knows who he is.
He did work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he comes to Luthen and he's like, I got burned. Like, they're after me, and they're after you too. And Luthen's like, okay. And then they just continue to sit. And also, he, like, draws out the Death Star reveal for, like, 5 minutes.
Well, he wants assurances that his family will be safe.
Yeah, he has two kids. He has two kids.
Yeah.
Okay. So why doesn't Luthen just give it to him rather than...
Because Luthen doesn't give a shit.
Yeah, Luthen's...
Yeah, but then he doesn't get his... Yeah, like, okay.
Dumb. He's just gonna lie to him if he's just going to kill him anyway. Yeah. Like, yeah, your family will be fine.
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
It's weird.
And then Clea is also, like, more in the next episode where she's, like, in the safe house just sitting around. But I guess we can get there. Right, so Luthen kills the guy with the mustache. What do you guys think about that?
It's very him.
Is it very him? When has he done something like that before?
No loose ends.
It's just loose ends, yeah.
It's more like Andor killing the guy in Rogue One.
Right.
That's where he got it from. Like this.
Yeah, where do you think he learned it?
Well, okay, but he didn't know Andor killed Mustache Guy. He wasn't there for it.
Yeah, but it's
trained by Luthen to have no loose ends.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But when do we see him do that?
Oh my god. I don't remember the first season, okay? Would you just, like, relax?
I know.
When Cassian does it?
No.
I mean, that's why we get the flashbacks.
Yeah.
To show how specifically he makes you watch what happens, but know what the sacrifice is, right?
Oh, yeah. So that's the other thing, is that, because there's a bunch of flashbacks to Clea and Luthen, like, being like best friends.
Favorite trope.
It's yes, I do. Yes, it's Mandalorian again.
Lone wolf and cub.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was a nice touch.
Yeah. I a little late, but that's okay, I guess.
Yeah. I guess better Nate than Lever.
My favorite joke. Yeah. So Deirdre's at the store. She brings out the Starpath unit from season one. Did you remember that, Alana?
Yes, I did remember that.
Starpath unit. Wow.
It's a cool I totally forgot about that. I'm sure this is connected to something.
Matt, do you know it's from season one, or do you have to look it up on your
own? I remember it from season one.
Wow.
Well, yeah, because I was going back and listening to some of the old episodes about it, but do you guys remember the part where they're in, like, the factory?
Yeah.
And they have the Star Path unit on the table and they walk to the other end of the room for no reason.
Yeah, and we all complained about it.
Yeah,
I remember that.
Yerrick says had to do it because he's a two-man operation, not some elaborate witness protection program, and had to kill the guy because he couldn't let the Empire find out what the Rebellion knew. That is correct. And the Star Path was also the major plot of Season 1, where they kept hiding all the... And, like, Cassian had to keep one of the receivers hidden in business. Anyways, yeah, I mean, all the Star things...
Thanks for helping with chat.
All the other stuff is... all part of Season 1, and I mean, that's where that's how Bix finds out about the whole thing, all everything, and yada, yada, yada. Because they're tapped into the tower in her shop. Okay. You're always tapping other people's shit.
Come on, guys, come on out.
Muting that dude.
Alright, so Luthen, yeah, so Luthen, so yeah, so Clay, so Deidre confronts him, and she war whoops, but then he tries to commit suicide, and the Imperial... What, he should have gone for the throne a lot?
Yes!
I think so. I thought that's what he was doing. I thought he was either cutting off his tongue or he's slitting his throat.
Maybe he didn't have
But then I realized, so the weapon is a bleeder. So
theory,
so which is stupid because then you're supposed to leave it in. So then you can just, because you just bleed. But no, he had to just slice himself open like a weirdo.
So it's not a vibroblade?
No, it's an antique weapon.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. All right. So then they take Luthen into the hospital. Clea hears about it, and so she basically spends the rest of the episode breaking him out and having... And no. There is a lot of crying flashbacks.
Breaking him out?
Is that next episode?
No, well, this is the first episode. She's going to... There's no chance.
You think maybe she's breaking him?
No.
Going around the back. Going around the back.
I still believe.
I agree. Like, maybe the audience was supposed to assume that, but I don't know.
What is that?
I mean, she loves him so much. She's crying.
Yeah, but she understands the mission. We're literally, that's again, that's why
she's a true believer.
That's why we get the flashbacks. She understands. She's willing to sacrifice everything to kill the Empire.
So then why does she call Andor in the next episode and say, come get me?
Because Luthen tasked her with the information. It was the only way to get the information off.
So guys, you can't come back.
So why didn't she say, come, and I'll tell you, and then I'll leave?
She called him, and he came, and then she told him. And then he goes, hey, you need to tell the rest of them. They won't believe me.
She was like, no, I'm going to stay here and die.
And he's like, no, you come. And she's like, no.
Oh, wow. All right, so well, everyone's dying.
The same situation, but yeah, that's fine.
Really? All right.
Well, all right, so Clea's at the hospital. Deidre gets arrested.
She's arrested because she's not on Axis. The other guy's on Axis, and she overstepped her authority by a raid on Luthen.
But that's not really why.
Well,
that's a majority of the reason why.
It is also something she's not supposed to do.
Well, no, it's because...
because of the Death Star.
Well, right? No, it's because she was on all these group chats, just like the Secretary of Defense, and she didn't say anything about it and learned all this stuff that she wasn't supposed to and never told anybody.
So the Redditors, or actually, maybe this is on Threads, they think she was lying about that. She was just found stuff. She was like, she was digging for access.
Like, she was the hacker.
Yeah, she was hacking.
It was a hacker called 4chan.
Right, but it still came completely out of nowhere.
Is that her getting arrested?
No, that she was on these group chats and had access to all this stuff she wasn't supposed to have.
Yeah, I mean,
a little bit.
I mean, it seems to be a classic thing through a show where there's a deleted scene that would explain something that happened, but instead they just go super, super fast.
Well, it's supposed to, I guess, explain why Lonnie found out about the Death Star. He was keeping an eye on Deidre, and Deidre found out about the Death Star because she was trying to find Axis, and then he found out and told Luthen. All ties together, I guess.
Yeah,
we'll check out.
Yeah. But Clea. Matt, do you now like Clea? You were like, I don't like her.
I don't have strong feelings about her because she's so boring.
No, but she was so badass.
Badass in this. Yeah.
It was amazing.
What did she do?
Took on the whole entire empire by herself.
You have to watch it.
What did she do? What did she do?
She becomes a Jedi and she wields a two-handed fucking lightsaber.
It sounds great.
I would say it's more about the Empire being incompetent than her being like a badass.
She took advantage of their proclivities.
She understood.
Yeah.
She understood the mission.
Yeah.
It is funny, at one point she's on their floor, like, windows, everyone's seeing her, and they're still like, she's fine, even though, like, no one's supposed to be there except the Empire in the hospital floor. But
yeah.
Right.
It's allowed. I mean, they're...
You know what you're doing gets you really far. That's what I learned from Ocean's 11.
Yeah.
It's true. Or so Catch Me If You Can, you know.
Yeah.
Right. And she sets off, like, a bombing, and then at the end she kills Luthen.
Yes. So, removes his ventilator.
Yes.
And she's very sad about
her,
it.
His iron lung.
And I don't remember this in this episode or the next one, but she starts sending out Morse code.
It's at the end of it. She goes back to the room, to the original safe house.
Yeah.
And starts breaking the walls and all the shit. And who knew that there was so much technology in that room?
This has seen better days. It looks like shit.
Bix did not like that.
The whole building looks like shit.
Yeah, Bix really wanted to redecorate. Jeez.
Yeah.
Bix.
But, so then the next episode is really when we get into the whole...
The next episode is where we find out that K2SO is OP, and it's a good thing he wasn't in the show before now.
He already knew. Well, if... Matt will know if you watch the movie. No, he's very OP.
He was OP before, but I'm just saying, if he was in this show, they wouldn't have a plot, because K2SO would just solve everything.
You should say that and do your perfect me impression, because in Rogue One... The units are not OP. There's a part where one of them gets shot, one blaster rifle shot to the shoulder, and it dies.
Interesting.
So that's another kind of discontinuity, I guess.
Hmm.
Yeah. I remember other battle droids besides K2SO in the movie.
Yeah,
K2SO. There's a few, not a ton. There's a few.
Well, there's one part where Jyn Erso shoots, you know, it's the battle with the, like, kind of, like, terrorist partisan resistance fighters in the marketplace in Jeddah. It's like fighting, and then one of them comes out of nowhere and she shoots it kind of by reflex. And then the Alan Tudyk one comes by and was like, did you know that? How did you know that wasn't me?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I just wanted to set up the joke. That's why she did it.
Yeah.
Maybe it was the Force. She got a lucky shot.
But it's still like a one-hit kill. So, and I agree, it's annoying that he is so OP because it ruins the sense of danger.
Yeah, I played against them in Jedi Fallen Order, and they're pretty annoying. So they have, like, a lot of hit points. So
yeah, they
I don't know what it is.
I think you're misremembering the fight. I think the bot gets killed by the guy with the belt-fed plasma rifle, like a heavy weapon. But regular blaster shots don't work on the battle droid. The other K2s definitely take other type of damage, and they definitely get fucked up by other things. They are meant to be, like, ridiculously.
Yeah, I mean, this one in this show, he takes like a million blaster shots.
No, even in the movie that Garrick's talking about.
Okay, I mean, I watched it today, but all right. So
the opening scene is really cute because they're playing poker, and K2SO is trying to, like, figure out what they're doing. Yeah, and they're just bluffing, and he's like, the odds don't make sense.
You played 898.
Yeah,
you've never pushed this hard.
That was, like, the best part of the show.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, like that kind of spending time. But before we get to that part, the ISB come into the hospital, and I wrote down butt covering because they're all like they're busy doing the thing that they did in season one, where they're, like, trying to decide who's to blame and, like, avoid taking responsibility for what happened.
Yeah, yeah.
So. I like that. And then Krennic goes to talk to...
How do they get the Death Star info again?
From Lonnie.
The mustache.
Yeah.
Okay. They don't get the... Yeah, they just...
Well, no, they don't get the specifics. They get the rough outline of that three planets... events on three different planets.
Krennic?
Yeah, they get... But they get the full details later in the movie when Cassian goes after and saves...
Don't have the full details is because Kleia forgot the full details.
Yeah, which also pissed me off. That's so uncharacteristic. Kleia. That's uncharacteristic of Kleia. It's like all these three episodes were just like, no one is who they've been portrayed.
Yeah.
Like, Kleia's meant to be like the calm, level-headed, with the mind of a champ. And then she can't remember four simple things. Like,
well, she got
but she couldn't remember even before that.
Before that, she didn't remember.
Remember when Cassian first comes in, she's like, Jeddah, hyper crystals. And he's like, yeah, tell everybody. And it's like, tell them what? She's not telling you anything. She's dumb.
She suddenly went dumb.
Doesn't seem like the most important part either.
But she tells the important part, like, you know, the Death Star is happening.
Yeah, it's all a trick. It's all a lie. Everything is just really a setup for a massive weapon. So she gets the general.
They're going to repeat everything she says, because, I mean, as an audience, we know it, so yeah. They don't need to repeat that.
But it just was very uncharacteristic for...
Say the same thing over and over again. Yeah.
Yeah, for Clea, specifically for Clea, not to be able to remember those three little phrases.
Yeah.
All right, so then we have the scene we talked about where Krennic apparently learned that Deidre is on all these group chats that she wasn't supposed to, so they think she's a rebel.
Maybe.
Well, that's what he says. That's what he says. I guess we can't know for sure. Yeah. So he's mad. They think she's a rebel spy. Do you guys like the part where the ISB guy, who's the ISB guy? Who's in charge of the investigation now?
I don't remember. The Weasley guy.
Oh,
Hutch.
They're all Weasley. That doesn't...
That's Hutch.
He has...
He's extra
The old guy or the other guy?
No, young guy.
Cardigan.
The old guy's also in Game of Thrones, so we know who he is.
So do you guys like the part where he goes to talk, where he has the security cameras?
Yes.
Yes, where the guy's all chatty.
Yeah. He's like, my cousin's applying for a job at the ISB.
Yeah. He's like, well, then if you, yeah. It's like, shut up. I hate you. Yeah. That was great. So that was good. Okay. Right. So then she gets out the radio, the new old radio, makes her Morse code call. We talked about that.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah.
He has the other device in his bunk, and he always keeps it charged. And his girlfriend's like, hey, this thing's beeping.
And he's like, yeah, it is.
The one time he walked away, it starts beeping.
Yeah, the one time he's not there, it's like freaking out.
Yeah.
But that's okay, because she repeats it like on the hour.
That's right. That's right.
That device is so antiquated. It's like, don't know, answering machine, something? I don't know.
No, that's why it's so good and why they never find it. Because it uses such old technology that who would ever have it?
Gypsy's in.
She tells them to go look at the old files of the old... document.
Yeah.
So right, and I was gonna complain about like how come the Imperials can't detect the signal, but I think it's fine. Like
they did. They got close enough.
Eventually they did, but you think they would have but it's fine.
Well, they wouldn't have expected their own to be piggybacked on their own signal and it be an old Imperial signal.
It's older code, sir, but it checks out.
Yeah. So then we have the Domino scene. You guys talked about that. Krennic goes after, figures out that Krennic is, that's why he's such a brilliant guy, because he says, doesn't Luthen have an assistant? He has spoken to her about this big secret that we're trying to hide.
Right.
Isn't that a possibility?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, she gave him a very thorough, detailed description of the...
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know. Yep,
anyway, Cassian and K2SO and his Melshi
off they go.
Rescue, and they leave without authorization or a flight plan.
It's all good. The rebels don't mind. They're going to do it over and over again. They did it in Rogue One, too. People just come and go so quickly around here.
Yeah.
Organized.
There's no code.
Rob, where's that quote from?
Wait, no, I don't know that.
People come and go so quickly here. Classic film. Classic
is it
film.
Mel Brooks? I don't know.
No, it's from Wizard of Oz.
Okay, sure. I haven't seen that in a little while.
Nice one, guys.
No, Dorothy says it after Glinda leaves. All right, so they discover the signal and they're after them. And then the other thing, so they arrive in Coruscant, and this bothered me a little bit because the ship comes in. There's no other ships. And I know it's a TV show, but there's no other ships like in the sky, like around the planet. And they just kind of fly in. They just kind of fly in and nobody is like, what's your security clearance, etc.
Fly into the heart of the Empire, no problem.
Yeah, but I actually didn't have a problem with it because A, it's like New York City. Like, how can you check every single car going in and out of New York City? And B, they're not at war. It's not like a time of war.
Yeah.
So then they jam the comms, and so again, this is really the part where there's no sense of urgency. So Andor finds Clea, and she's like, "They're after me. Let's hang out in the safe house for a while and just like sit around and have a conversation."
No, Clea wanted to get the message to Cassian and then have him immediately leave. She didn't want to. She wanted to die. She didn't care.
Okay.
She wanted to die.
Yeah.
Luthen.
Yeah. Her dad.
I can't live without my dad.
Yeah. It's her daddy figure. It wasn't that she wanted to have a conversation. She was trying to push Cassian out as fast as she could. Cassian wouldn't.
I mean, that's clearly that's not what happens in these scenes. Like, she's never like, Cassie, you need to leave. You need to leave. You need to leave.
They waste so much time standing around talking. I'm like, oh my God, just like knock her over the head and like go. It's so annoying.
Yes, I agree. Yeah, there's no sense of urgency at all. Okay, so. Oh, Kate, do you guys like the part where KT Esso like kicks the guy off the balcony?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I felt like I was watching someone play Hitman.
It's very Rogue One. Yeah.
Yeah. That was some slapstick.
Or in church.
Yeah. And then the second episode ends with this like SWAT team approaching the safe house.
Yeah.
That was exciting.
It ends with that, really?
Yeah,
it's my last one.
Yeah, it is. It was kind of like a low. I was like, kind of like, all right, we're gonna end this episode. I mean, they're all like 3-episode segments, so you're kind of like expected to just binge it. But
kind of
inconsequential ending.
I guess I do sort of think of them as all one big scene at that point. Like,
yeah,
it is all kind of one big plot.
First friend was gonna like immediately die because he just seemed such like a red shirt, but
Melchi,
yeah, he survives though.
Yeah,
gonna come back.
No, well, I thought he was gonna be in the part at the end with Deezer. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
But I guess that would be weird because it's a women's prison.
You think he's still in prison?
Yes. I think he can't acclimatize to the outside.
Little Shawshank situation.
He's like, I can't handle being on the, I'm acclimatized or whatever the term is.
I'm an inside man now.
That's right. 3 hots and a cot.
Okay, there's, they break him out. We don't need Zach and watch it. It's really good.
Well, they finally convince Clea to go to Yavin.
Yeah.
Yeah, they do.
And then the SWAT team is coming in, and this is kind of what we were talking about earlier. There's no sense of danger because KTSO is going to come in and just kill this entire SWAT team without any difficulty whatsoever.
It's not going to be in Rogue One, so like whatever.
Well, yeah,
already not the destination, Matt.
But sometimes with these prequels, the interesting part is how are they going to get out of this situation? I'm going to find out how they get out. But that's not interesting here because we already know KTSO is going to kill her.
I still want to watch K2SO do that, though.
That's right.
Yeah. I think there should have been like 30 or 40 stormtroopers. Then I could be like, okay, this is important to them. K2SO is either going to like fuck up a lot of guys or get overwhelmed.
Yeah.
It would just add for tension. Because, like at this point, we've seen Andor kill like 5 stormtroopers pretty quickly.
The stormtroopers go down easy.
You know that little pistol that Clea has is super powerful and can kill someone with a kidney shot.
Yep. It's okay. All right, so they leave out the front door. Then they go back to Yavin, and Mon Mothma and Bail Organa and Saw Gerrera have a conversation.
Wait, and there's some X-Wings. Do you guys remember when they talked about Gold Squadron and was going to come get Mon Mothma and that we didn't get to see Gold Squadron?
Yep. Blue balls.
Yeah.
Felt betrayed.
That's disappointing.
Anyway, this is the most like annoying like committee ever.
Yeah. Even Mon Mothma, agrees.
Oh, yeah.
You almost might say they discussed it in a committee.
So is Bail Organa supposed to be the actual leader?
They don't have a leader. They're a council. The council decides things. There's no single leader. That's way too authoritarian.
In this scene, I think Bail is more of a neutral party because Bail has no connection to any of the people involved. What they're discussing.
Yeah, so I guess
Bail hasn't been like a
leader status.
Hasn't been like an active participant in stuff. So he understands, he's interacted with Saw and others, but he hasn't like.
Everyone knows where he is. He's like, you don't know where I am. And they're like, yes, we do.
He's like, so maybe I thought I knew you would know where I am. And so now.
They're like, no, you're on Jedi. He's like, no.
You don't think I can fool your people? Like more Rhydonian.
I like the part where they're like, he sounds like a paranoid like psycho, and the one guy is like, no, he's right. We have people in this organization. We're spying on him.
Knowledge is power, whatever.
Spy game. It's a spy show.
Lyons thinks it's all a vast conspiracy to capture the rebels, the Death Star. They're like, that's not real. Luthen was betrayed us. What a conspiracy.
I think I thought he's conspiracy prone, which he kind of is a little bit.
Yeah.
And we learn more about that because of one of the side effects of all the stuff he huffs is.
Wait, are we talking about Saw or Luthen?
So,
I was talking about Luthen. Rob was also talking about Luthen.
Yeah.
Well, we also saw that Luthen is kind of paranoid too. and his flashbacks.
Well, deservedly so.
It's always a two-person show. Him and Claire forever. One day we'll learn their real names.
Getting their real names.
Luthen's not real name, but yeah.
Oh, what? Everybody uses their real names on this show. Val, Andor. Cassian, no.
Luthen Rael.
Don't forget that.
So the argument is less about do they believe that the Death Star is real and more about do they trust Luthen?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Cassian's like, he died again.
He died to be bothered. He died to fucking piss off Daedra.
Yeah.
All right. So, yeah. So they talk about, they debate about Luthen. Mon Mothma talks to Val and she's like, Val, you know, I need you to weigh in. Like, is Luthen a good guy? Should we believe him when he says there's a giant super weapon the Empire's gonna use to take over the world? And Val says, yeah, I think he's pretty reliable. It's a good thing Val was there.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. All right, so then Val goes and talks to Andor, and same kind of thing.
Yeah. Oh, Mon Mothma's like, go ask Andor if it's good intel. And Val's just straight up like... Mon wants to know if this is real or not.
You read the tea leaves and tell me if he's full of shit.
Yeah.
Right, exactly.
I just said it before. It's like, I obviously believe him.
Right. Anyway.
Yeah.
And Clea's getting some tubes in her.
Yeah, she's in the hospital for the rest of the episode, which is...
They didn't want to have a back-to-tank.
I didn't have the budget for it.
We forgot.
They're all about old tech.
No back to tanks.
I was surprised the hospital wasn't just a bunch of back to tanks with that stupid robot guy next
to
him.
Yeah.
I like that robot guy.
That robot guy's awesome. How dare you?
He's that robot. He's a stupid guy. Okay, that explains a lot. Thank you.
2-1-B. 2-1-B? Yeah.
But also General Dadonna was like mentioned briefly, but...
Yes, it's like Dadonna will be back tomorrow, but you're not going to see him.
Don't excite me like that.
Yeah.
You didn't have the actor.
Don't tease me with the Dadonna.
Yeah.
Mon Mothma has the New Hope haircut. Most important.
The Rogue One haircut?
She has a Rogue One haircut. And also...
His haircut.
And they're both pretty bad. I was just like, man. And then I rewatched a bit of Rogue One. I was like, oh yeah, they are bad haircuts.
Yeah.
That's accurate.
Hold on. Do you want to switch to Dominion?
Yes.
Nice games, guys.
Let's see. Let's catch up on what Garrick says. Garrick says... So unless the person knows what to do something, you can never assume that anything will be done automatically, like with Mon Mothma's escape scene, where it's so easy for them to just fly away. There's no lockdown or tracking of vehicles or anything. Andor uses a fake name rarely, usually uses his real name, unless Luthen gives him one. That is also true. But, yeah. We do learn Clea's real name at the end, right? It's that flashbook as a kid. Is that Clea? So, yeah, so we get that real name, but we don't ever learn Luthen's real name. Such a shame.
Yeah, I think I'll be okay. So then there's this quick scene, you guys, where who's the head of the ISB? The guy who is like slightly longish hair, the old guy?
Partagas.
Krennic tells him, like, he's going to take some of the blame, and so he kills himself. You guys remember that part?
Yep. Yes, Pooku, with blaster.
Yeah, that reminded me of, like, the Stalin's, like, Burgess, where it's just, like, if you're a high-ranking official and things go wrong, or even if things go right, you're still, like, going to die.
Yeah.
So that was
a bit abrupt. I'm like, dude, like, A New Hope hasn't even started. Yeah.
Things are going to get so much worse.
Yeah, it's like, they might need you, whatever.
Then there's like 20 minutes of Clea wandering around in the rain.
Yeah.
She's got to see all the things that she saved and helped create.
Cool. Yeah. No, it's like a more subdued last episode for sure. But like, I kind of expected that because like fucking episodes 6 through 9 were so intense. So I was like, okay, I guess next episodes are going to chill out a bit. And they do.
Yeah.
Maybe too much to some people's opinion, but yeah.
Okay.
And then we have this really... What, am I skipping ahead to the montage?
Yes, we're skipping ahead to the montage. Hold on.
Garrick says they're really leaning a lot on the idea that she's traumatized by Luthen.
So the note I wrote is that Tevek is calling. Who's Tevek?
From Rogue One. Didn't you just watch it?
Yeah, I don't remember that part.
Their friend.
The beginning.
Is Tevek the guy on the rings of something something?
Yeah, he's the guy he shoots.
Yeah. Okay. I do remember him saying we have to go to the rings of Kandada or whatever.
And then green.
Thanks a lot. And then I watched half of it today and the other half. The first half the other day. Oh, Rob, there's new cards, by the way. It's also the sister dream, right? He dreams of his sister. And
that whole business.
The sister. Finally, puppet. We get one. No. I said nothing. We wouldn't get anything about the sister, and I was wrong.
Is that what it was? Anything about? Because this is like that's we. You were. I mean, we already had the sister mentioned. Remember?
Yeah. Which I. Yeah, mm-hmm. And I failed that.
Oh yeah, Alana, so, do you have? Did you do your job? Did you consolidate the prop bets so we can?
Job?
Yeah.
No. Look at the Apple Podcast transcript.
Okay.
It's like an Apple's job.
That would be fine. So Bail sends Andor to. He just sends him on the mission. Basically, he's like, "Okay." He's like, "All right, you fine. You convinced us. You got to go.
Find Tivik.
Deal with this situation." Yeah. So off you go.
Figure it out.
Hmm. Yeah. I give you complete discretion.
The Tivik scenes I was rewatching is a little strange because he kind of gives the same information Andor already knows. He's like, oh, there's a Death Star being built, like a super weapon that's a planet killer. And Andor's like, what? A planet killer?
They know it's a super weapon, and not even a super weapon. They just know it's a really big, powerful weapon because that's all Clay can remember. Not that it was like a ridiculous, powerful weapon. It was just a big weapon. It was a weapons program.
So bad.
Stupid.
So, Rob, I was watching that part too, and I was that part as well, and I was tempted to be, you know, grumpy about it. But actually, Andor doesn't have, maybe because he's doesn't emote very much, but he doesn't have a big reaction to that statement. That when that guy tells him,
I was wondering that too. That he doesn't have a knows. Yeah,
you could Jay explain it as him just being like, you know, as him just like, I already know, but I'm not going to react.
That's how I interpreted it. Like, but I think that's kind of a retcon, but like, you know, it's not, still matches what the scene does. Like,
and in technicality, really it works, but it.
Yeah.
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 It's not how it was like originally written, I would say. Yeah.
No, definitely not, but I'll allow it.
Garrick says in the 1 year gap, it seems like Andor became official rebel intelligence, so he has a lot more trust now than he used to. Well, in this season, we see that they're trying to convince him to be more of a rebel, to be an official officer and all that. So they're fully invested. It's why he's given such leeway and allowed to take the ship when he wants to and do all these weird things. They hate it, but they also allow it. So, and they understand like his value to a degree. And it's like, should you really be trusting this fool?
No, sorry, just quite very quickly. In Rogue One, there's no inkling that he's like on the outs with the rebels. They're like, this is Captain Andor, rebel intelligence.
Well, yeah, you know, we also have a gag, and we also know that now that they at this point, yeah, they fully trust him. Well, not fully trust him, but they trust him enough that like they're not gonna like fuck with him, right?
I guess the idea that he was on the outs is not even true, because he was gonna leave and then Bix kicked him out, and so now he's just back in the rebellion full time.
Well, he was only on the outs because he wouldn't commit,
right? And now he will commit because he has nothing else in his life, because Bix dumped him.
Well,
right.
That's because I mean he during the scene where he's screaming at everyone, he's like, I gave up Luthen's fucking mental games and I came and I fully joined the rebellion. Sorry if I had to go say bye to a friend, and but I'm here. And now you're not even trusting me. And then they go, oh wait, maybe we should trust him. Go do this shit. And then he's like, yeah, fuckers. Garrick says, one thing I didn't like was how much stuff happens in the 1 year gap. That goes unsaid, and you kind of have to piece together based on how much characters have changed. There is no gap between the end of Andor and the beginning of Rogue One. There's a bit of a gap, and then we get he became rebel intelligence during the last year gap in Andor between episodes. Yeah.
Yeah, that's fine. That can be kind of left unsaid.
Those year gaps are an issue. That reminds me of a really common complaint I heard about Avengers Endgame. Was too much happened during the gap.
You have
fine. I like a big gap. I don't know. Like Battlestar Galactica does that.
That's the one in the show description.
Please, but yeah, no. It's just like, you know. Then you're playing catch up as the audience. So I think there's something fun to be had with that.
Yeah. So then this is the montage with Deidre in the prison, and she's wearing the uniform, pretty much the same uniform.
And she's in that prison with the Electrify 4. That's the exact same layout as the. It's the exact same little tiny bedrooms, and it has the same layout. It's the same uniform. It presumably it's the exact same one because that's where they send all the heavy.
I think I saw somewhere that Toni Gilroy said she's in like a women's prison that's not exactly the same, but it's the same layout.
Yeah, because they have people separated. It's multiple. Remember, because it's like a shit ton of different segments. They happen to be in what, like number 4 or 6 or something like that, and they're communicating via fake sign language, or not fake sign language, but like made up like communication signaling to each other with the other group. Like, oh yeah, we're gonna get out when we're done, and they're like, you never get out.
One by hour.
Yeah. What did you guys think of that being kind of the resolution to her story.
I want to see.
Deserved.
What's his face break her out?
Who?
Her dead boyfriend? No.
He's not dead.
Oh, he's dead.
He's not dead.
He lives in the labs.
She loses everything.
She's like, you got my boyfriend killed, Luthen, you bastard. Yeah, I love Cyril. Right, so then, Alana, you were going to say something about the montage?
I kind of mentioned earlier, they didn't wrap up everyone. They didn't show anything about Mon Mothma's daughter. They showed her husband, who's sleeping with Takehoma's wife. Oh my god.
Who's that? Is that the guy with the hair?
Perrin?
Who's Takehoma's wife?
Oh, Takehoma, the guy, the friend of Mon Mothma's who Luthen kills?
Yeah, the guy with the hair.
Okay, sure. The hair.
That's what I've been calling him this whole time. Okay. His great hair.
Takehoma.
Lots of people have gray hair.
Well, he's one of them.
He had beautiful gray hair.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Well, he gets a wrap up, and like, Cyril's mom doesn't get a wrap up.
I agree that Mon Mothma's husband was like not somebody that I would have even had even the slightest thought about what happened to him.
Yeah.
Like, it's clear he's going to continue to do what he's been doing.
Yeah.
Which is nothing.
Which is like cruising.
I'm also surprised at the restraint they showed and not having Bail or Gata mention his daughter.
Oh, gotta get home. Like, crazy daughter. She's very precocious. Yeah.
Bail Organa is wearing. Bail Organa is wearing the same outfit that he wears. I'm sure that doesn't. Nobody's surprised to hear that.
Well, he hasn't. Enough time hasn't passed. He can't get changed.
He doesn't have time to change clothes. Yeah.
Derek says, I heard there was a deleted scene where Mothma's husband knows more than he lets on and maybe was a bit sad that she never trusted him with the rebellion.
Aw. So sad.
I feel like he definitely did know more than he let on. But it is what it is. So sad, unfortunate.
Yeah, Mothma's husband was the only kind of standout part of this montage scene. Everyone else, I think, was pretty much what you would expect.
Expected. Yeah.
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 Yep. And then we have our final scene, which was the biggest UTF scene I've seen in a long time.
With Bix? It's like the end of the Hunger Games.
So, dude, what do you think happened to Bix? Make a prediction.
She joined Saw Gerrera.
So, yes, if you recall, she says, we need to, you know, like, I'm taking you away from the rebellion and that's too important to Andor. You need to focus on that. I'm going to go fight the rebellion in my own way. So, Alana, would you like to tell Zach what happened?
I think Zach should just watch it.
So we just leave it on a cliffhanger.
She's on the wheat planet and she has a baby.
That is unexpected.
And that baby is Poe Dameron. No.
He's like, I will name him Poe Dameron.
Yeah. So you're saying Andor season 3 is going to be about his kid? It's like Indiana season 3. And the crystal skull.
Yeah. What the heck?
Yeah, I wasn't too impressed by that either.
But we get to see.
It's implied that Vel knows too, right? Because she says to Cassian, don't wait too long to look up Bix.
My guess is Vel is the one who drops Bix off.
Sure.
Seems ugly.
Derek says they could retcon away the whole Palpatine bloodline thing. Think of the possibility.
Great Skywalker.
Oh, just a bunch of street urchins.
But it means Andor's life, like, passes on, you know, like, there's some continuity, yada, yada.
Yada, yada.
Yada, yada, yada.
Yada, 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 yada.
Yeah. I don't understand why it's bizarre that she's like, okay, I love Andor. I have his baby. I'm going to, like, hide the baby from him so he
to the rebellion. Then when he's done, he can go raise the baby.
But he's going to get killed. It's a person that even if you didn't already know what was going to happen, that he's going to get killed.
Yeah, but she doesn't know he's going to die either.
Yeah, but it's a pretty safe assumption.
I mean, there's people getting killed like left and right in this show.
Yeah.
I mean, you guys need saying like I've been getting by on luck and it's running out. Go ahead, Zach.
Yeah, I mean, it all tracks, right? Bix is very, very, very dedicated to the Rebellion. You can tell from all those scenes where she talks about how dedicated she is to the Rebellion, right?
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Many scenes.
He's joking.
Yes, I'm being sarcastic. There are no
Bix
scenes.
Bix is all in.
They didn't establish that before she leaves them.
Well, she demands that Cassian pulls her fully in, and they go blow up that building. She's fully invested. She's fully in.
That was, like, personal. The one.
Yeah, only two episodes.
Derek says she's dedicated to Andor, and by extension, Andor's baby, so always got to protect the baby.
Andor's not a baby. Novel series.
If they did have a season 3, they could do, like, between Star Wars and Empire, like, New Hope and Empire. Timeline-wise.
Well, like, he's, like, on his way to the rings of whatever, and he just gets lost on the way.
Gets called to another mission.
Alternate universe. Yeah, just gets warped in.
I don't know.
Overall, I thought this season was pretty good, though. I liked it. I got fully invested. I was hoping to see more of what happens with Vel. And their whole little drinking to the ones they lost. That was kind of cute. This is the one time I'll drink to that dickhead. That was kind of cute. Yeah, I don't know. I liked it. I felt like it had a decent pace to it. It had its ups and downs, low-wise. But it definitely fleshed things out.
I thought it was good. I thought it was good. I actually think I liked it in some ways more than season one.
Yeah, I think I enjoyed it more than season one.
Fuck, yeah.
But I was more invested with the characters, I think.
Sorry, guys. You're right. My internet is all fakakta.
I need buys. There's no way to get them, though.
Buys. Yeah. So, yeah. It was good.
And that's Andor.
It was... Come on, it's the best Star Wars show going, right? Come on. What's the competition here? Mandalorian?
No. Skeleton Crew.
I mean, actually, yeah. That's actually not crazy, but I still prefer Andor.
Eric says they liked the season one more because it was more like you were looking at a small slice of the rebellion, not these huge stories we get in movies. That's a good point.
I can see that. I don't have a problem.
Can we talk about Trappets?
Yeah, yes, please, Lana.
Okay, so the sister. The question was, will they even bring up the sister? And
the answer is yes.
No, it doesn't say who said what. So someone said, I have faith in Tony Gilroy. I think that was Rob.
Yes.
And I think they'll mention the sister at least once, but then that's it. Nothing else comes of it. Maybe in season three. That was correct. I think that was probably Matt. Somebody said he's going to randomly run into her, and she's not going to know him. She's going to be part of the impact of the show.
I think that was mine. That was mine.
Oh, Anna, these are really good notes.
From the transcript.
Great job, Anna. You have an amazing memory. And it wasn't me about season three. I didn't know there was going to be. I think that was Jai.
Cassian says, I've been in this fight since I was 6 years old.
Nobody said that. Nobody thought he was going to say that.
Mon Mothma openly defies the Empire on screen.
Yes.
Like, to its face. A stormtrooper's there, and she's like, fuck off. And then she shoots him. So that doesn't happen. You know, someone's complaining about that. Mon Mothma addresses the Senate and says something negative about the Empire or Emperor Palpatine. Jay says no. I say yes. I don't know who I is. It doesn't say who says what. And then she has to go into hiding, run the rebellion. Wow, someone like predicted this. Yeah. Or she does it in front of her husband and daughter. That doesn't happen. Okay. That's pretty good. All right. Then.
Yes, that happened. Yes.
I mean, I would say it was dramatic.
It was definitely dramatic. It was definitely a martyr. It wasn't like heroic death.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. But he said very clearly, like, I know I'm going to die. Like, I don't know. He was going into it.
Someone says, yeah. I'm going to just say he just kind of like, he just dies. It's not dramatic. It won't be huge. He just dies.
No, I don't think so. It was pretty dramatic.
Okay. He literally stabs himself despite Dedra.
All right. So then Cyril Karn switches sides. So he joins the rebellion.
So that almost happened. I mean, he almost made the partisans.
Yeah.
He quadruple crosses. Yeah.
I think I predicted that Deirdre. Sides too. That was definitely wrong.
Cyril like does hopscotch. Jumping back and forth. Doesn't know what you want.
I would say he doesn't ever officially really switch sides.
No, I don't think so either. Deirdre arrests the main character. So it says main character, shall we say, a series regular. So I guess she arrests Luthen, so
I think that counts. I think she arrests Luthen. We don't know who said what, I guess, but
there's something about characters like meeting. I guess maybe that's Deirdre arresting people. All right. Vel kills someone.
Nope. Vel doesn't
Think she did.
She doesn't do anything.
Yeah.
She has a redhead. That. Is that just like runs in the family? I couldn't tell if that was my job.
The actual actress?
Or no, just her character. Wasn't she blonde?
No, she wore a wig at the beginning of season one. And she thinks
so. Okay. So just their whole family's gingers. Okay. That's good to know.
There's a prediction that Diego Luna and Bix would have sex.
They have hand sex.
Or that they would smooch. Yeah. They're smooching, but the other.
They have hand sex. I mean, that was like a sex.
Hand sex? What are you talking about?
What? Remember the part where they're like, bumping their hands together?
No. Like a dance, almost, yeah.
Like in the safe house?
Oh, yeah, okay, yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, that was like, yeah.
Someone says, like, I could see something off screen, like something suggestive, because it's Star Wars for adults. And that does happen between Deirdre and Cyril.
Yeah.
Oh, the sex seed! Count words!
And Bix and Andor.
Yeah, Bix and Andor, okay. Maybe, like, you know, they hook up and then she dies. Okay, that doesn't happen. Okay. Cassian will get a journal from the guy. That actually does come back up. The guy who, like, his memoir, he's on the planet.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, the guy who anti-Empire stuff, so that comes back. Do we think any of the prisoners show up? Everyone said no, but that's not true because Melchi
comes and the prison.
Yeah,
propaganda thing came back, and it's interesting that Portugas is in there listening to it and touches him.
Okay, I think
Melchi kills himself.
Remember Melchi was in Rogue One. I would change my thought.
Yeah. Mon Mothma's daughter gets married and she and her husband get along and everything's fine.
Yes. I mean, that happens.
Well, we don't really know.
They're to assume everything's fine until proven otherwise.
Everything's so fine that bow chicka bow wow family that happened.
Garrick predicted we get another crazy tech innovation on par with lightsaber ship wings.
Tech.
The TIE fighter was kind of cool.
The TIE fighter tech.
Krennic gets shown up at some point by his underlings.
He never gets shown up.
Really, the underling usurps his power. Not really. Krennic has a sick cape. Yes, confirmed. Cassian crashes a ship. No. Saul Guerrera already announced. Okay. Admiral Akbar. That was for Ahsoka. Okay. recast. Bail. Okay, that's the end.
Okay.
Cassian crashes that TIE fighter.
Yeah.
He crashes it?
Yeah. He like hits like he lands in that jungle where like the two.
He's like a hard land.
Are fighting. Call it
back. Some of those predictions were scarily accurate.
There you go.
It's what you get for Tuesday gaming.
ChatGPT. It knows what's up.
We know what's up because we predicted the future.
All right, let's move on to question of the day, shall we?
Sure.
Okay, I second it.
Okay, hang on.
We're not doing.
Oh, yeah, this is a good one. So we were talking about this at PAX Unplugged. Oh, wait, I forgot to tell you guys. I was walking through the mean streets of Hartford the other day, and there was a couple walking towards me, and they were wearing matched PAX Unplugged shirts.
Wow.
So I said. I said, I like your shirts. I'll see you there this year. And they said, yep, they are.
Wow. And then you became best friends?
No, and then I kept walking.
Okay.
All right. Question number one. We were talking about this at PAX East, but we waited to make sure Rob was here for it. Oh. What is your favorite moment from Lord of the Rings?
Wait, what?
Wow. That's okay.
What was the question?
Favorite moment from Lord of the
Rings? Obviously include Hobbit Battle of the Five Armies. Okay.
Well, yeah, that's the best one. So, your favorite moment's going to be from there.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I do like, I think I'm going to go first because I have some. I like when Boromir says, "What new devilry is this?" And when Gandalf is facing off against the Balrog, but not when he says, "You shall not pass." I find that kind of cringy, actually. But I like the shot of him facing it down.
Zach, I don't want to call you out, but I feel like I was talking during my, Alana, during your rewatch, did you get to that part?
No.
With the Balrog? So I feel like there's a part where, in the part where Boromir sees the Balrog, I always thought he said, "What new devilry?" But I think he says, "What is this new devilry?"
I choose to remember it how I want to remember it.
I know. Yes, I understand. I don't know if it's like my favorite moment, but the one that sprang to mind when we were discussing was the part where Frodo's on the boat and he says, don't follow me, Sam. I'm going to Mordor." And Sam says, "Of course you are, and I'm coming with you."
Yep.
Yep.
Eric says, favorite moment is when they're reading from the book of Moria, Drums in the Deep. We cannot get out, etc.
Yeah, that's good too. I also like the part where Gandalf says to Frodo, "Many who die don't deserve it. Many who don't die do. You, who are you to give it to them?" So we're all cursed to live in such times.
But that is not for them to decide.
Yeah, it's a good point. Oh, it's like a lot of them are from Fellowship of the Ring.
Yep. Dude, what about the tavern drinking song?
Yeah, I don't know if that's, I mean, I like that, but I wouldn't say it's one of my favorite moments.
Rob, Alana?
What?
What's your favorite moment?
Oh.
Was I not paying attention?
He breaks his toe.
His toe? And which part is that? Specifically,
it's when they find the hobbit like bodies or something, and he kicks the helmet.
Yeah, he goes, they think the hobbits are. Yeah, think they found the hobbit's bodies.
Yeah,
I'm gonna go with it's a cheesy scene, but like the in Return of the King, where he's like, "You bow to no one," and they all bow to those little hobbits, and they're
even
than the hobbits, and they feel like
a lot of people really like that part.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, why do Merry and Pippin get bowed to?
When Arwen calls the magic horses, kills all the, doesn't kill them, but
yeah,
the Nazgul guys. What's the in canon reason that they start out with horses and not the flying dragon things?
They're hard to control. Horses are conveniently there.
They didn't have time to make the dragons.
Yeah, the dragons were still in development, just like in Rebellion, right?
Uh-huh.
They're still working on it.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, I also like the part where the Ents go to war.
All right, Jay, did you answer?
I don't think so.
No, he shoot off. Sure.
Shoot off? Like the kills competition?
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
It only counts as one.
Derek says, the East is a huge place, though. Wyverns were probably off doing stuff over there, getting messages and such, and Sauron wasn't quite ready to reveal his full power immediately. Doing stuff.
Okay, sure, yeah. Delivering messages is much more important than finding the ring. Okay.
Question number two comes to us courtesy of Guru. It is, would you marry an alien, parentheses, from another planet? So presumably not a foreigner.
Yes.
I mean, they are foreigners.
Good clarification.
Why not? Maybe they're super cool.
Yeah.
I mean, real world relationship obligations aside, if they look like Jadzia Dax, then sure.
If they check all your boxes, if you know what I mean.
What, you can't have children with them.
How do you know?
But they have a superpowered baby.
Yeah.
I'm willing to take the chance.
Yeah, all these examples that are like, you know, you just decide to help your point.
I mean, I think when I say they have to check all my boxes, that would be a lot of checking. Statistically speaking, they're not likely to, so I would probably say not.
Yeah, and like, what about when Spider-Man killed Mary Jane with his radioactive sperm? That one comic.
Are you sure that wasn't a fan fiction?
I'm sure.
Okay.
I mean, I think it was a what if or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, funny how they didn't put that one on the TV show.
So I would say no. Zach says yes. I think Jay said yes. Alani, you seem to be arguing no.
Yeah. I don't know. Who knows what could happen?
Hold on. What if he's like Doctor Who and can take you all around the universe?
What if he's like a squid monster?
It just says you could. It doesn't mean you have to.
Could you convince
yourself to do so?
Probably, I guess.
I just feel like I wouldn't have anything in common. Like, they'd be like, you want to listen to this weird, like, atonal music that, you know,
badass jizz music.
I mean, I like jizz, of course. Please quote that as well. I feel like we just wouldn't have that much in common. Yeah, but otherwise, I would have the total hots for them, especially if they're like some gelatinous blob. Sure, why not?
Yeah,
interesting.
All right, did everybody weigh in?
I think so.
Oh, I fucked up. God damn it.
What'd you do, Jay?
I picked the wrong card.
Well, here we go. This is an interesting question. Question number three. Actually, maybe this isn't a good question. Actually, this is, on second thought, it's a terrible question. I'm not sure what it is, and we don't have to actually do it.
Sure.
Yeah.
It's, what would you choose to be paid with if money wasn't it? I feel it's like stock options.
Cars.
Like house payments?
Dude, where would you put all your cars?
On the street.
Okay. I mean, I don't know. What about crypto?
Crypto counts.
I feel like that's money.
It's a currency.
Oh, God. Everybody's buying colonies.
Gold bars.
Room and board.
I'd probably do food. Or
I know magic cards. They're apparently highly liquid, I've been told.
It depends on the value changes. Very market is very explosive at times.
Yeah, this is a good question, dude.
Thanks.
This is a real answer. This is a real answer. Real estate.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
Pay me in real estate. Pays for itself.
But you get like a percentage of a house every week from your job or whatever.
Well, I suppose so.
Okay.
What about like
go ahead.
What about like gasoline and I could sell it for like less than the the big big gas stations. Everybody needs gasoline.
This sounds very practical.
Yeah, I agree.
I would get a bunch of Sega Genesis cartridges. So hopefully go up in value. And if they don't, I just have a bunch of Sega Genesis cartridges. So I don't know.
Until you get to the repeat. Moment.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe something with a bigger library.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's a small library. You're going to end up with like 1,000 copies of Altered Beast.
That doesn't sound that bad, but like, no. I mean, it's bigger than the N64 library. Maybe I should go with the NES library.
They would get paid and a stake in the place I do work for, basically stock options. Yeah, that's still currency. Although that's actually not practical unless you can sell it. Yeah. But again, stock options is basically currency, I think. Garrick says, yeah, so you'd want something fungible. I would just pay me in chicken nuggets. McDonald's chicken nuggets. How about that?
Nice.
Cool. Okay. Anyone else?
I said room and board.
Okay. Room and board.
I can never tell what answers are serious.
Why does it matter? Take whatever.
Anything else, guys?
I'm good.
So speaking of big gaps, as we were talking about earlier, we are going to be taking a big gap for the next couple of weeks here on Tuesday Night Gaming.
Not that big.
Have we decided? Yeah, it sounds like we're still not sure how many weeks.
Wait, is it a big enough gap that Rob would love it? Or like it?
Yeah, is it an odd number or even number?
You don't remember the beginning of the episode where Rob said he loves... This is what you said, Rob? Loves gaps.
He loves gaps.
And he cannot lie.
For Rob to love it.
I hope so.
Thanks.
But anyway, after the big gap is over, you can catch us every week at twitch.tv/mcslanty at 8 p.m.
Hey-o.
Next time, whenever that is.
Whether it's TV, whether it's movies, or questions about you, come for the laughs, come for the banter, come for whatever you choose. To Tuesday Night Gaming with the siblings and Jay, listen while they play.